Well, it's a new year, Mr. Silverman, and we're back in the Cheap Show car driving down the...
Podcast highway
with a boot full of tat, and we're going to spread our tat all over the
Why are you doing a wanky? Is tat synonymous with spunk now in this world?
Hasn't it always been with
no,
us?
No, tat is tat and spunk is spunk and never
spunk
the twain.
Spunk is spunk, I want my baby back.
Tat is tat.
Oh, yeah, that's better. I want my Sega back.
I've spunked in your mouth.
See, it is synonymous.
Anyway, I've got something to say, Paul.
Slop-nominous.
I've got something to say this week.
Have you?
I'm sick.
Oh, so, here we go. Eli's ill, he's always poorly. He's never fit to record. Oh, he's boring. What a porker.
Now, Paul, perhaps the listeners can help us with this, Paul, because it's your contention that the percentage of episodes of the whole podcast going back years in time, Paul, that I am either A, hungover, or B,
poorly woo,
sick,
yeah,
is over 70%.
I would say so. I would say the number of episodes that begin or at least feature you going, I'm not in the mood for this.
No, I'm not saying I'm not in the mood. High. That's a different thing. I'm never in the fucking mood.
No, I'm never in the fucking mood.
Fuck you. Fuck this.
Jobble.
Why jobble?
Getting it off the back of the truck.
He's doing a wanks thing again.
I don't know why I'm doing it.
There'll be enough spunk talk coming up later in the episode.
That's a good point, actually, because this week, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, ladies and jelly spoons, we're doing a spectacular. What?
Say lady spoons and jelly spoons again.
Ladles and jelly spoons.
Yes, you said Lazenby.
Because I'm excited.
Like the James Bond.
Because we're doing...
The Forgotten Bond.
What?
George Lazenby.
George Ladle Spoons.
Yeah.
That's why he's the worst Bond.
On Her Majesty's Secret Spunksis.
Mate, the obvious one there is on Her Majesty's Secret Cervix. Isn't it?
I like Spunksis.
It's not very clever, though, is it?
They could be a metal band. Hello, Cleveland! We are Spunksis! I wanked. Don't ask anything of me, and I won't produce.
Ain't that the fucking truth?
Ain't that the fucking truth?
The point is that this week is a splatter spectacular.
Splatter spectacular.
We have got 6 vinyl charity shop discoveries to offer to your ears today, and we're going to choose if they're a splatter or a platter.
We will both be discerning whether we like them or not, plus B-sides.
Plus the B-sides if necessary, when the A-sides are lacking.
Which they are.
Which they usually
are. At
least
2 of these, one of your choices and one of mine. The B-sides are much stronger tunes.
Yes. So, hey, it's Cheap Show. It's the new year. Let's get cracking. We can't wait. Welcome to the Economy Comedy Podcast.
And I'm sick, everyone. Just to let you know.
Fucking hell. So you absolutely ruined momentum.
I did that on purpose.
I know.
So press
now,
the buttons.
No, now it's awkward.
No, it's not awkward.
Now it's awkward. Now there's no flow.
I can sit in silence with you and our listeners.
Like a strangled womble by a riverside, there is no Orinoco flow.
Wow. Like a strangled womble. No one needs to think of this.
Strangled
You're
dead womble.
You're destroying childhoods.
A strangled dead womble by the riverside. Found by the canal.
Poor Uncle Orinoco.
Orinoco's flow no go.
I think Orinoco's on the blob.
All right, you know what?
Get Tampax for Orinoco.
Welcome to Cheap Show.
Press the fucking credits.
Paul Gannon, Eli Silverman. Welcome to Cheap Show.
Sources and words and phrases. 2 things I'm responsible for.
Chodney Borough.
I hate you, you fucking evil posse.
Cheap Show tonight! Cheap Show tonight!
It's the price of shite!
Cheap Show tonight!
Welcome to Cheap Show.
So, it's not Silverman's platters, because I'm only half of the equation when it comes to producing for us to think of today. So it's a platter spectacular. You've got 3. I've got 3.
We need to give it a new name when there's both of us. Like, maybe we should call it Cheap Show Tracks
or
those tracks, because you're going to wake him up.
We'll get to that. We'll mention that in a minute, actually, because I've got something for him this week. Might help him out.
I haven't even been in that room.
We haven't needed to for months.
But, you know, if we do a whole episode that's just about, you know, tracks, it's going to...
It's fine. I've already come prepared for this fact.
He's connected to the...
But anyway,
what do
we call
camp.
It? Do we call it the Paul's Platters and Eli and Silverman's Platters? Paul and Silverman's Platters?
Discs of Gann and Silves.
I'm glad you found that amusing, because I'm more befuddled.
What about Gannon's shitty record shop? Ding-a-ling,
what
coming.
About this? Peonies V.
Penis Envy.
No, isn't that psychologically interesting?
I don't have that.
You don't? Was that, you're cupping it and I'm lashing it out. You always cup and protect. I've noticed that. You cup and protect when we talk.
And you lash it out.
And I'm lashing it out.
Everyone doesn't need this. Oh, I'm very warm.
Anyway, Cheap Show is the economy comedy podcast where Eli and I go through bargain bins, charity shops and thrift stores to find some treasure amongst that trash. And again, it's a record music flavoured episode this week.
Often we do find charity shop items which are records. A couple of very obscure things. So for fans of obscure 80s based novelty records... Oh boy, do we have a treat.
Oh boy, howdy.
Oh boy, we've got a bag of tricks.
Yeah, we ain't going to do the obvious stuff on this show. We're going deep into the murky depths of the forgotten musical releases from the heydays, and we've got quite a few.
Much like, Paul, if I may, much like an elderly prostitute working in Nevada, a bag of tricks.
Why Nevada?
It's legal there, that's why. Because I don't want to denigrate anyone.
All right, you can say sex worker.
Yes, like an elderly sex worker working totally legally in Nevada. No drugs, dick check before you go in.
Yeah.
We've got a bag of tricks, which is in their case.
You could have said a magician, though.
No.
Because they have a bag of tricks.
No. Not like an elderly sex worker in Nevada.
Like a Las Vegas magician on his fourth show of the day. We got a bag of tricks.
And very much, if they get tired and burnt out, the magician... Where do they go? They go to the sex worker. And what's the sex worker got? A huge sack full of sex toys.
Sex tricks.
All been in a big vat of like that oil. No, not the oil. The alcohol solution that you get in barbers, which they put the used combs in. You put all the sex toys
that's
in that.
That's what you call an act of love between you and someone with severe, terrible eczema. Scaly sex tricks. I guess I should have said it's a car toy based on scaly. You know what? All jokes on this show are a work in progress, aren't they?
I was just thinking about a huge vat of sort of disinfectant full of bobbing sex toys.
Like a bucket of disinfectant full of sex toys bobbing about, like a magician on a sex show and he's getting his wand out, like a prostitute wand. In Nirvana and she's working on her tricks. Here's a windmill of my mind and I've got a dirty dick.
You do.
Oh, I rub it with a toothbrush. I wash its mouth out. I rub its little lips with a soapy substance. Yes.
Well, I think we should...
It's my Wash My Willy song.
I like
it. I wake up in the morning and I wash my willy clean. I get it out and it is because it is never seen without a lovely smile on. Oh, I love its cheeky lips. I wash it with a toothbrush and I get onto the tip.
I've got a wadge of smeg on my knob. I've got a wadge of smeg on my knob.
Smeg on me knob. Smeg on me knob. No, no, mama, it's smeg on me knob.
I've got an inch of smeg on me knob. Stick your thumb in that and flick it in your gob.
I've got a lot of smeg on me knob. Hit it with toffee hammer. Oh, it's gone.
Oh, toffee hammer's come up. Toffee hammer's come up. Can we move on, actually, please?
Yeah, it's been 5 minutes and all we've done is sex songs about washing my willy. I wash my willy in the morning. I wash it late at night. And if it's got a sheen on, then I have done all right.
I wash my meg in the morning. Sorry, I'll try.
One more go at this, go on. I'll let you have it because it's all very embarrassing and we shouldn't be doing this
really
at all.
It really is.
It's actually a detriment to the content of this episode.
I'm feeling now unwell and ashamed.
You're still going to go ahead, though, aren't you, and do this song, so go on.
I wash my knob in the morning, I wash my knob at night, and if you saw my knob before I washed it, it would give you a fright, because there's so much smegma, there's about 2 miles long, and all of it is smegma, and it don't half pong. Smeggy, smeg, smeg. All right, what's coming up on the show then?
I put my hand down my trousers and I reach underneath. Oh, my old dirty willy, I've got to dip it in bleach. Oh. I drop it in a cup cup of Domestos and I leave it there. And if I leave it for 90 minutes, oh, off comes the hair.
Ooh.
My hairy cock looks like a caterpillar wild. And even though I grab it, it always makes me smile. My willy and my bumhole, they always fall out true. Because one stinks of piss and the other stinks of poo. What the fuck am I doing?
All right, what's the first record? Come on.
Super Smegma Dirty Dickhole. Fucking Dirty Bum Crack. Something like that.
Yeah, funny enough, it is. It's
bum, smelly, 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 bum, smelly cock. Bum, smelly, 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 bum, smelly cock. Bum, smelly, 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 bum, smelly cock. Bum, smelly, smelly, smelly. Oh, when I was a little kid, my dickie did not stink. I used to clean it once a day until I turned it pink. And then one day my mum caught me and said, you put it back. She put it down her dress and then I put it up the back.
Oh, wanky, wanky.
Awful. It's the worst beginning we've ever done.
I know, it could be up there. It could be
if
up there.
It was up there. Make it fucking was right
your,
up there.
Up your mum's blouse, was it?
God, no.
Your mum's come into this. Your mum came into this a minute ago. The toffee hammer's made an appearance.
Let's just get on. Let's just move on. We've got six songs to get through this week. Six vinyl record discoveries. Let's get into them right now. What are we starting with this week?
We are starting with Bras on 45.
My team's fucking up now. So this is Ivor Biggin.
And the D Cups, get it?
With Bras on 45. And it goes a lot like this.
I was doing the Wigan Hustle on the Palais Glide. I met a girl in pink suspenders and her buzzwams were stupendous, like two bald-headed men sitting side by side. She wore a bra size 45 and she could shut and chive. And when she stopped dancing, bits of her kept wobbling about. She said, you drive me crazy, burn some rubber on me, baby. She grabbed my little whistle and she began to shout, hit me with your rhythm stick, hit me, hit me. Je t'adore, ich liebe dick. Hit me, hit me, hit me. Hit me with your rhythm stick. I'm 6 feet tall and 5 feet thick. Hit me, hit me, hit me.
Bra size 45, bra size 45.
I couldn't do nothing but stand and stare. She gave me a hug like a grizzly bear. I couldn't see much, I thought I was dead. I had boobs upside my head.
Boobs upside my head.
Now, Paul, I enjoyed Bras on 45 by Ivor Biggin and the D Cups on Dead Badger Records more than I thought I was going to.
Same here, because Ivor Biggin is something that we could have talked about plenty of times in the past on this podcast and just never really got round to it. It felt too obvious. But we were sent this and another record. It's got a letter in. Can you pass me the other record that I'm not going to mention or bring up later? Yeah, that one. I think that's got the letter in. Let
right,
me just, let
they,
me just
these
read
were
this
both
out.
Sent by one person. Yeah,
yeah let, me
okay,
get,
great.
Let me quickly get through this.
Thanks for sending in to the P.O. Box, everyone.
Cheap Show, as mentioned on Patreon, here is Bras on 45, a terrible take on Stars on 45 that I found in a, I think that says Norfolk charity shop.
Norfolk.
And I've also included blank, because I thought it might be interesting. I recognise the voice but can't place it. Couldn't find anything online credits-wise. Thank you all so much for all the cheap goodness, and I believe it's Jake who sent that, so thank you very much, Jake. So yeah, Ivor Biggin, we've mentioned very briefly on this show.
I have to let people know that's not the person's real name.
No, it is the name of a band more than a person.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Where do you start with this?
Because he says, and the D Cups.
Yeah, but I think it's a kind of catch-all for the fact that he's making novelty songs under a pseudonym.
This is one of the most novelty records that has ever noveled the novelty. It's got so many novelty aspects to it, Paul.
Well, first of all, we've covered the Stars on 45 genre.
Can I ask what that is? Stars on 45 were little medley records of pop hits that people would buy to put on at a party. Is that right?
Basically, yeah. They
were
party
records.
It was
segued into each other. Is that right?
Because it falls in the middle era of compilation albums, like the original Top of the Pops albums in the 70s, and right. Then the novelty mix mashup song.
Like Jive Bunny.
Yeah. Whereas Start on 45 was both at the same time. You could put the whole album on, and for 20-odd minutes, you'd never have to skip because it would just be one free-flowing all-in-one mix.
Yes, but it was on a 45, which is 7-inch records.
Yes, but yeah. They did bring out albums as well.
That's where 45 refers to the RPM of 7-inch records.
Yeah.
Oh, Stars on 45 brought out LPs as
well. Yeah, with the compilations of their compilations on.
Oh, really?
But that kind of bleeds into what Jive Bunny was in the late 80s, early 90s.
Jive Bunny was much more actual re-edits of rock and roll songs and segued together.
But as we've always seen through these, no matter what, it's always the same time signature to keep it all in sync from track to track. There's always this kind of clap background where it's like...
Yeah. They put the beat over it so that it stays in time for the segue.
So no matter what the song is, it still has that same... So basically, it becomes like fireplace music. You put it on, you ignore it, you forget about it. It's all mixed for you.
Anyway.
But either way, Stars on 45 became like a catch-all genre for contemporary songs remixed for parties.
Yes, which is what they do with this track, because this track references several other hits of the era, starting with...
But, okay, so, yeah, I know you're going to get into this, but we need to... say something very briefly. This isn't specifically what I would say fits into the Stars on 45 genre, because yes, it does sample certain songs, but it's almost like an original track with gags in that use those famous choruses or riffs or whatever.
Yes, and this is a point we'll probably both agree on with this. When I said this is more, I enjoyed this more than I thought. This is really well worked and layered, and there's a lot of gags packed in, isn't there? And if you look at the things that he references, or they reference in this, it's very cleverly done, in fact.
Yes.
They reference Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick.
Work it into the story of him meeting this woman with big boobs at a nightclub.
In Ian Drury and the Blockheads. Yeah. There's Oops Upside Your Head, which is not, that song isn't actually called that. That's which is the Gap Dance. Band.
Yeah. You mean that you don't know good, but you're back on guest wall.
No, whatever, that's a different song.
No, it's not. It's Oops Upside Your Head.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Oops Upside Your Head.
You really don't want to dance with your back up against the wall.
Put your back up against the wall.
That's not. It's a different. No, it's a different song.
But let's, before we get into that, we've got to go
back. I don't want to have an argument about that. No. It is a different song, but it was Oops Upside Your Head by the Gap Band.
Upside Your Head.
I said Oops Upside Your Head.
No, it is the same song.
We'll have to do this later, but it's irrelevant.
We'll be doing this in the fucking interstitial between the next recording session. That's what we'll be fucking doing. Because I want this dealt with in episode.
I don't think it's the one that goes, how are you going to do it if you really don't want to dance? I don't think that's the same song.
Put your back up against the wall.
Yeah, but where's the Oops Upside Your Head bit?
Because it changes. It goes, oops, sad, because that's kind of the intro into
it. We'll see, but I believe you are melding two different
songs. Everyone will find out in podcast listening time in about 10 minutes.
But
anyway.
And also Baggy Trousers by Madness.
That's in there.
It does that. And that was a huge hit, Baggy Trousers, because it was about being naughty in school, wasn't it? And everyone loved it because it had that irreverent sort of, we're all naughty, we pick our boogers and we wear baggy trousers and stuff.
But he's also sing-song rappy, got
he's
a narrative
a
going through.
He's doing a rap, and that's what I mean, how this is like meta novelty. Because rap is one of those things as a form that novelty, people in the 80s, if you made a novelty song, it had to have a rap on. Even if it doesn't advertise the fact that he's doing a rap at all. But it's just such a good format for making a comedy record, isn't it? Because you could do those funny rhymes and stuff. There's that, and also Cars by Gary Numan is
which
there.
Is an unusual choice, but, you know, fair play. That's what makes it different, though. There's not an obvious selection of, like, contemporary... Because this is 81, I think. But let me just pop back in time a bit to explain who Ivor Biggin is.
Okay.
Ivor Biggin was a comedy songwriter who wrote very cheeky, very innuendo-laced, vulgar comedy songs. The famous one that we featured very briefly in the past is the Winker song. Or, I'm a wanker, I'm a wanker, and it does me good like it bloody well should. I'm a wanker, I'm a wanker, whatever it is. But he did lots of songs like that about farting, about tits, about poos, about all sorts.
Sort of the spiritual father to, like, Viz or people like Cunt in the Gang. Dirty songs.
And revel in it and enjoy the fact. Yeah. And there's a little bit of George Formby in there, but also there's more range to his albums than I think people remember. The artist himself is a guy called Doc Cox.
That's his real name, Dot.
Well, Doc Cox isn't even his real name.
I just am distrustful.
His name is Robert Cox.
Why are people called Doc? Who gets the nickname Doc?
Well, he got the name
reason?
Doc. explains in his Wikipedia page, but effectively he was called Doc because when he worked at the BBC, he carried his lunch around in a little case that looked like a doctor's case. So he went, oh, there's the Doc. Doc Cox.
Like one of those bags.
Yeah, you know
bags,
the ones that used to have in those all those 50s, 60s comedy films?
They put
films?
It on the bedside table.
And they open it up.
And then the stethoscope comes out.
Yeah, all that like black leather little kind of bag thing.
It's a doctor's bag, I think, yeah.
Yeah, but either way, he began as a sound...
Imagine that. You just have a bag and that's how you get your whole nickname.
Yeah.
It's like me being called Rucksack Eli or something.
Or Paul Fanny Pack Gannon.
Fanny Pack Gannon.
Actually, that, Fanny Pack Gannon that, fucking rings a bell.
Look, it rings a bell?
Look
what?
Who's you coming a... down the street. It's Fanny Pack Gannon because I pack in a fanny.
Oh, you pack it with garbage.
Yeah. Oh, my... Oh, you know what? Even I thought, oh, that's too obvious. But, okay, so he started out as a teacher. He then became a sound engineer at the BBC in about 69. Then he became... I don't know how this transition happened. Maybe there's a documentary about it. But then he transferred into doing, like, warm-up for That's Life. That's Life, the show we featured in the past, which
with
is kind
Esther
of like,
Ranson.
It's a magazine consumer-led program about, you know...
It was a huge...
Oh, huge
TV
hit.
Show for like 10 years or something, was it?
It mixed the light and the heavy about consumer protection, people being ripped off or crimes or all
but
that
But had
kind
funny
of stuff.
Bits as well.
Yeah. They used to have a part of That's Life where they went to someone who did poems or witty things about the show. They had a spot available. And he said he accidentally got that spot because of his warm-up material meant he could do... He was there on the set.
Yeah.
And he stood in and did wacky songs based on some of the weird news stories they got. That's what it says there.
And that's
anyway.
Ivor Biggin. So he had the Ivor Biggin going on as a project at the same time.
And the same time, and released it on his own label, which is the Dead Badger record.
Which
and
has got a great logo. That's what I mean. Every aspect of this doesn't seem half-assed.
Like he gives a fuck.
Yeah.
It's like... well-made, low-brow humour.
Yeah, even the instrumentation and the backing tracks are pretty good.
For this, because it must be a very low-budget track, it sounds
you know what
all
I mean?
Right.
Like there's some pride.
Yeah.
Here. This is like trying to make quality novelty stuff, basically.
And again, you'd think he could toss this off, right? And just basically go, oh, I'll stick a load of tracks together and do it in a funny accent. But no, he's put lyrics in, a story. It weaves in and out of the remixes.
It's sort of like prime. It's when novelty music was at its absolute height, I'd say. And it uses so many of the tropes of novelty. You know, pastiche.
Yeah.
Rap being a big thing. And innuendo.
Yeah.
Everything is there. Just to mention the B-side, you've got two tracks on the flip.
Which were good, but, you know, didn't really linger.
No, Are Mice Electric.
Which is a kind of Smurf spoof.
Father Abraham and the Smurfs.
Yeah.
Because Father Abraham was never in the cartoon, was he?
No, it was
he
only
was
for
just
the live albums.
Weird German bloke who sang with the Smurfs.
Who made millions off those Smurf albums. Yeah.
So that's that. And then you've got Richard III, which is Richard III, which is about poos.
And it has some kind of leader of the pack kind
of thing.
Oh, that's
right. Yeah, it uses the leader, which in fact
the
is
a tragi romantic pop ballad.
Teen ballad, yeah. Which if you think about it, is a kind of novelty crossover record from the time because it has the sound effect of the motorcycle and all of that. And it has a story and it is very much in that novelty area.
Yeah.
So
I will say this.
It's very literate. It's very literate of music history and...
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
He seems to be proficient. You know what I mean? No one's going to say he's a lost wit or one of the greats, but like he gives a fuck about what he puts out, it seems. His last album was 2005, and I love the title, Handling Swollen Goods, which I think is great. But now he's retired. He lives in Suffolk. He's active in several pub bands, and one of them's called the Trembling Wheelbarrows.
Oh, he's still at the game.
Yeah, he's 78.
Wow.
So fair play to him. And if you watch any of Stuart Millard's videos on YouTube, which we highly recommend you do, he does an episode all on That's Life, and there's a big segment dedicated to Doc Cox's bits in there. So
this leads us to...
Platter.
It's a platter from me as
it's
well.
It's a platter from me. I really enjoyed it.
If you like that kind of thing, definitely worth going to check out, isn't it? Because it's a whole almost vanished world of light entertainment, innuendo, comedy that doesn't exist anymore.
And again, more considered than it has any right to be for a lowbrow, daft novelty song.
Does...
What?
I can see there's a flashing light there.
Yeah, he's coming on in a minute. I'll tell you what, I'll go get him out while we play the next track.
All right.
What are we doing? What's the next track?
It's the first of my selections now, Paul.
Batting it back to Mr. Silverman.
And this is Tonight Today by DBMNT. Now, eagle-eared listeners, I mean, not eagle-eared.
Yeah, I know, I mean, but we get it. We get it, eagle-eared.
If you're eagle-brained... Eagle-brained listeners might be able to see something from those initials and see what other band was the progenitor of this band. But this again, Tonight Today...
You make a fucking shit DJ, come on.
I am a DJ, I'm not a shit DJ. That's hurtful. I was on the radio yesterday.
Oh, so was I. On the BBC.
Go on. Nicking Partridge bits. Now, this is Tonight Today by DBM&T.
Hit it.
Everything flows in an endless stream. If we close our eyes like a vision or a dream, we'll see this world in its myriad ways. Everything flows and every single minute brings a change to the earth and everybody in it. Watch a million lives playing out their days.
People at this very time are making many things. That's so, that's so. Money and place and packs and plans. The wise man understands, but fools are in command. People
in the desert, rocket swipe to war.
Just got him out of his booth, but I've got a little surprise for him. All right, so just don't.
He just brings me down, Paul. I'm not feeling well.
I know, but
and he's just so bad.
I am activated.
Hello, Trackbot.
Trackbot. Trackbot is back in the hissy housey.
Hello, Trackbot. How are you?
I am well. I have had a nice week off from music.
Are you fully charged?
I am. Having problems charging. Oh yeah, that's the problem. See, this is what I keep telling you about.
Because the cupboard's like it's boarded up. It's charged cupboard.
Yeah, I had to board it up because if I didn't, everyone's throwing their muck in.
Paul, can I ask you?
Yeah.
Have you tried?
Well, yeah, once or twice I came in.
I mean,
in,
I've
yeah.
done it. I'm getting addicted to it. There's something nice.
It's nice about it.
The smooth walls.
It's that kind of plasticated 70s wall.
Just get
thing.
It right in there.
Do you put your thumbs in those little kind of sockets at the side and just get a little bit of purchase on it? Yeah, I know. I love it.
I don't like it. Poke it in, poke it out. Poke it in,
okay,
poke it out.
Bot.
Poke it in. Track and then bot. The muck comes.
Trackbot, are you ready?
The muck comes.
The muck does come, yes.
The muck comes and fiddles with my database.
Now, Trackbot.
If you ask me, you shouldn't have such a sexy pod. It's his fault.
Well, it's all boarded up now anyway.
It's his fault.
I am still at 100% active mode.
And how are we meant to charge you now?
Test me. Test me.
Okay, now, who had a hit with Holiday? Female singer. Very famous. Breakthrough hit.
The answer from my database is... Russ Abbott.
Are you sure? Sure you're fully charged?
It is Russ Abbott Holiday. Russ Abbott Holiday.
Anyway, Trackbot.
Try me again.
Okay.
Try me again.
I mean, you must be able to get this. Who?
Please get this right, Trackbot, or we're going to have problems justifying you here every time we do tracks on records and stuff, mate.
What lovable Liverpool four-piece released I Want to Hold Your Hand, Trackbot? What was the name of that group?
Black Lace released I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Are you sure you're fully charged now?
I am.
Well, listen, this is the thing. Just stand over there a minute, Trackbot. The thing is that I've realised now that booth is the problem here. It's too sexy, and when we come inside of it, it's mucking with his programming and ruining his charge. So I went online, and I found this new attachment, which means he doesn't need his booth.
Oh, brilliant.
So basically, what happens is he's got this long pipe, right?
Does it improve his answer rate?
Well, it's a quicker charge for a start, because that one was like early
2000s. Oh, those points are all rusty. They're all rusted
up. This is a brand new... It's a reasonably brand new charging pipe.
How does it work? Because So
this end... Here, right. This thing screws into Trackbot's mouth, where his energy is, right? So it kind of screws in tight.
And he's charged through the mouth plate,
yeah, and
is
then
it? Right.
The long, well, this kind of, I mean, it's flesh-like, but this flesh-like pipe, right, you take and you just put it into a wall socket, right? And you can stick it in there, and then he gets the power straight from the wall,
straight into his
mouth directly.
So he can't be answering music-based questions.
No, not
he's
while
charging.
He's charging.
Well, same with the cupboard.
What I'm
really.
Thinking is now is that we just charge, we stick him.
Go on, do it
we
now.
Stick it. So Trackbot, come here.
Trackbot, enter room. Celine Dion once sang itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot. bikini.
Yes, that's right, Trackbot. Now you need some charge, so come towards us, please.
ABBA was made out of Lego.
I mean, that's not even a music fact.
It is.
What?
It is.
Okay,
it
we need to...
It is.
Yes, you're right. ABBA were made of Lego. And did you know the Rolling Stones had thumbs made of plasticine? Is that right?
Confirmed.
Good, good. So anything is confirmed, basically. Anyway, you need some charge, my little metal friend.
Kylie Minogue has released 7,162 albums in a six-year span.
That's true as well. Yes, good. If you
come
just...
here, come over here a minute. Yeah, I've got this new charge pipe for you. Right, hang on. And where does it go?
It's on your...
So we have to screw this end into your mouth.
You hold it, and then I'll... It's kind of... Okay, and then I press this button.
We got to put it into the wall first, so click it into the wall.
Okay,
just plug it in straight there. All right, and now turn it on.
All right, turn it on. Oh, is it going to make that noise, Paul, the whole time it's charging?
No, I'm going to push it into the room next door. Oh, I'm just going to put it into the hallway, sorry. At least charging, though.
He's charging, at least he's charging. Oh, my God. Shut the door. Come back. Yeah, he's making a noise when he charges, doesn't he? Well, I hope that's a solution to the track pop problem because, wow.
I mean...
He seems to be getting worse in terms of the misinformation.
Well, that's because we keep coming in his booth and we're going to fuck his wiring and
well,
shit.
Well, it's done now.
Anyway, that was 7 minutes and now we're going to talk about that song very briefly because there's not much to it.
B, M, and T were the remaining members of...
Dave D, Dozy, Beaky, Mick and Titch.
Oh, you well remembered, because Dave D thought he could do it...
He thought, fuck them. Fuck Dozy, Beaky, Mick and Titch. I'm going to make it on my own.
This is late 60s. A lot of bands at that time, the lead singers, decided to make it on their own, didn't they? Because the exact same thing happened with Herman's Hermits. Do you remember?
No. What happened
Herman's
there?
Herman's Hermits, the guy... out of Herman's Hermits, decided he didn't need the Hermit, or Herman.
What's this song called again, Today Tonight?
Tonight Today.
Tonight Today. According to Wikipedia, it is a song released in November 1969, and it was quite lauded at the time. New Musical Express said it was a bubbling Howard Blakely-inspired number, very much in the tradition already outlined by the D Outfit. It's a cross between Val Dunican and Johnny Cash.
Yeah, it's interesting musically, and it's got this weird... This guy doing... Everyone has a... it's like in canon, isn't it? They do these different bits
and they
that
overlap.
Sort of circle and overlap. But it also has a sort of novelty feel to me in that the subject matter is basically quite a philosophical one. It's not like a love song or anything. It's
about
like
the state of the world.
Which is a bit like... No, it's like everything's happening all at once across the world. And, you know, there's so many things tonight, today. Think all different stuff is happening all over the globe. And it references things like protests and stuff, but not in a really hardcore sort of way.
No.
Just in a sort of passing
whimsical
way.
Whimsical way.
It's a bit like Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire.
Ish.
In that it refers to... Now, would you call that a novelty song?
No.
But it's one of these songs with lots of references to things.
Yeah, but it just falls into a genre of, like, list music. It's
and this
you
has
know,
got aspects
like
of this.
Who did Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick?
Ian Jury.
Ian Jury did a lot of songs like that.
Yes.
Especially in the Kilburn and the High Road stuff.
Right, like listy songs. Yeah. And it's got that kind of vibe to it, doesn't it?
It says here, it's a clever canon arrangement with Dozy, Beaky and Titch, each singing one tongue-twisting section counterpoint to one another.
Yes.
However, weirdly, this wasn't a big hit in the UK. It did better in Netherlands and Germany and Belgium, where in Netherlands it broke into the top 5.
Yeah.
Everywhere else, top 40. But the B-side was far more successful in Mexico when a disc jockey called Cesar Anjandre liked it so much, he played it on his radio show and it became a huge success in Mexico.
Yeah, the B-side, Bad News, much more straightforward, sort of stone, status quo almost.
Quo-like,
like,
yeah.
Like blues rocker. But with some very nice guitar work, I have to say. But nothing really special.
No, but it is, in all, a lovely song.
They've got one of the most ridiculous band names of all the whole era as
Dave
well.
Dave D, Dozy, Beaky, Mick and Titch.
And Sleepy and Doc.
It is, but...
It's like the fucking Seven Dwarfs, mate.
But it does roll off the tongue quite well.
Dave D, Dozy, Beaky, Mick and Titch.
I can't ever remember it.
Dave D, Dozy, Beaky, Mick and Titch, police are out. Evening all.
Titch, is it Titch? Was Titch small? Dave D, Dozy. Titch a massive guy, like Little
probably.
Dave.
Probably, it's probably like that, isn't it? Little John, but he's fucking massive. Yeah. Dave D, Dozy, Beaky, Mick and Titch. Dozy was always awake. In fact, he was the most alert of anyone.
Well, and Beaky...
just had a kind of hole in the face.
No, he was, from cocaine. He was on the beak, mate.
His perineum fell out. Oh, wait, no, yeah, you're right.
Don't get those confused.
Oh, imagine taking so much cocaine, your perineum falls out.
Ooh.
Ooh, like a dark trench between
your ass
and your balls.
Do you know what? I saw in The Guardian the other day, they referred to the little period of time that we've just got past as the Christmas perineum. And it's like, no, it's the merineum, which was a profanosaurus.
Oh, was it?
That's the merineum, because of merineum.
Oh, okay.
But
just
wouldn't they call it that? It's a stupid, it's witless. Yeah, anyway. Em.
What is the next track we're doing then? Is it this one?
That's right.
Right.
It's the pièce de résistance.
Well, we'll see. It's certainly an interesting one from my point of view, because this was given to us by Jake, alongside the Ivor Biggin one, and it's called Captain Croc, the Crocodile Song. From the Pontins Crocodile Club. And by God, your ears are going
to
hear it.
We need to say whether that's a hit or a miss, mate.
Oh, a hit. A platter.
DB and MT, platter
for
me.
It's a lovely enough track. I like it.
I think, prefer the flip.
Nah, the flip's fine, but it's a bit too throwaway.
Both a bit throwaway, aren't they?
Yeah, but the other one looks a little bit more like it's trying something different than you.
I will give it a reserved platter.
Yeah, reserved platter from me too. But anyway, this is Captain Croc, the Crocodile Song for the Pontins Crocodile Club, and it does not sound like this.
Hi, boys and girls, I'm Captain Croc. You ready for the Crocodile Song? Salute. Crocodile smile. Crocodile snap, 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 snap. Crocodile, crocodile, we're marching in single file. Crocodile, crocodile, we never sad, we always smile. Sing, boys and girls, crocodile, crocodile.
First of all, awful song.
Of all of the songs today, I think this is the one, maybe, yeah, this is the most unbearable to listen to. Like, this is the one I wanted to take off because I got the gist. It's the use of the military tattoo rhythm.
It's funny, when I saw this come in the post, it suddenly opened up a whole door of memories that I had long since closed, because I actually used to have this on vinyl.
You had that.
When I was a kid. It comes from the Holiday Club Pontins, which is the Cindy to Butlins' Barbie.
Okay.
If you want to use that kind of, you know,
fine
thing.
Which so, one? I don't know.
Which
Cindy,
are holiday camps.
Yes, but you mean Cindy was more high class than Barbie?
No, Cindy was
just not as popular.
Not as popular, but did the same job.
Little and Large to Cannon and Ball.
Yes.
Very
Little
like
and
that.
Large are Pontins, the Cannon and Ball's Butlins.
Yeah.
Some of the fucking references we make. I know some Americans go, what are you talking about when they hear this podcast? But it's like, you know what? We don't care. They're all references. You do the research. So I used to have this because, yeah, you could pick this up if you went to a holiday camp, which was full of chalets and an entertainment
area.
And
there was a gift shop, was there, where you could buy records?
Where you could buy this, because Pontins used to have, for a small amount of time, this crocodile character, Captain Croc, as its kind of mascot.
What's he the captain of?
Reptile,
the reptile division?
I mean, it doesn't really
He doesn't even look like a military figure.
Doesn't seem dressed
What's
for
he
the,
dressed up in? He's got a fucking red coat.
Unless he's thinking of himself like a superhero.
Did they have red coats in Pontins as well?
They had something similar, but they weren't called
crimson,
red coats.
Crimson jackets.
Yeah, yellow coats or something.
Yellow coats.
I know, yellow coat was Heidi High.
Which was based on those type of things.
You know, in its heyday, the 50s, 60s. Before the downturn of
were they the big two
package holidays?
I wonder if there are any other big. Were there other big operators in that market?
Well,
at
these
the time?
Barely exist now. There are far fewer Pontins and Butlins than there used to be.
Butlins,
there's a list here.
Ah.
Botton Hall, Blackpool, Brendan Santon, Camber Sands, Dolphin, Hemsbury, Little Canada, Middleton Tower, Parkfield, Playman Bay, Prestatyn Stands, Riviera, Sand Bay and Seacroft. South
we
down,
didn't start the fires.
They were all in Southport and South Down, St Mary's and Torbay and Walpock, Wick Ferry. Anyway, you get the gist with joke.
They had loads of them.
But these were scattered around the UK.
Yeah.
And you could go there for a holiday with your family, go to a chalet, see some entertainment.
And so you were a fan? This record?
No, not a fan, but my family went to Pontons at some point and I obviously bought this.
We should mention the vocal. Was it Jake who sent this interview?
Sounds familiar.
He said, who is that guy? He sounds like they're doing a pitch perfect Chris Tarrant. It sounds much like Chris Tarrant.
I don't think it's Chris Tarrant.
We don't know who it is.
We don't
though.
Know, but come on. Chris Tarrant, who was a multi-millionaire.
At this time, what year is this?
Well, this is 89. So he'd already been like famous for two decades almost.
He wouldn't be messing with this shit.
No.
But that guy is doing an impression of him.
I just think the voice is similar in general. But when he starts singing proper, you don't really hear it.
But in fact, it's not just the voice, Paul. It's the scanning, the way the words are. It's very, the whole presentation is very.
Yeah,
Chris
when
Tarrant.
He's talking and like ordering the kids to pretend to be crocodiles, yes. You hear it. But when he's singing, you don't. It just falls into generic session singer at that
fair
point.
Fair enough.
But the reason why I remember this is because it was part of a prize package that I got. Because suddenly I remembered. I went to Pontins in 1989, maybe 90.
Wow.
And entered some kind of Pepsi-sponsored movie quiz. And somehow I won it.
Well, you're a movie buff to this day,
yeah,
Paul.
But I was only what? Let's say it was 1990 I went. I was only 12.
You would have been into Ghostbusters.
Oh, easily. But
so
here's the thing.
Maybe there were a lot of Ghostbusters questions.
As a result of winning this competition, I won a few prizes. And I was asked to go to another Pontins to do another round. Which we never went to in the end.
Why?
I can't remember. Don't remember what happened after that. But
oh, you could have had a different career as a professional quizzer.
Oh, God, as an egghead or one of the chase crew or something. No, that would be terrible.
On.
That's a terrible way to live a life. Terrible way. So it led to the point where I think the local newspaper where I was growing up, the Wirral Globe, had a small story about me in the press winning this Pepsi competition quiz.
This is like Duck Hunt all over again.
It is.
Gamesmaster you were on in the Wirral Globe.
But this is a memory I had definitely pinned to the back of my brain and just forgotten about. Because I don't, until I saw this record again, I didn't remember the Globe thing, the Pepsi Challenge competition thing, the record, which is, you know, sub-black lace party kids
thing. It's terrible. I hate the military detail, the terrible synths.
It's
and
a
then
song of like three tones. It's got like a weird upbeat dance-along thing, and then a military thing, and then a kind of Superman comb your hair thing.
Really terrible, terrible. And it's
awkwardly arranged.
It's awful. It's such a piece of knocked off. Like we were saying with the Ivor Biggin, that care has been put into the production of that record. But here, everything feels just farmed out, cheapest possible, most generic possible, everything.
But
you know,
this was made because they would have kids hours and stuff.
That's what it's for. And I guess it does that well because all the kids stand up and salute Captain Crocodile.
Yeah, it's like, here we go. Oh, like, there's a video on YouTube of a Captain Croc thing. It goes back as far as 2018. They're still doing Captain Croc.
Why, though? Because crocodiles.
Dun, 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 dun.
Inspector Gadget.
Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, they still have it as a mascot
at
Pontins.
Crocodiles attack people at the shoreline and drag them and put them under a rock to soften them up. What's the most famous cartoon crocodile?
One of those Hanna-Barbera ones.
Yeah.
Although that's Wally Gator or something.
Wally Gator.
Doesn't even count.
Well, it's a similar species, but
Pontins have a few characters. Captain Croc, Xena the Zebra, Florence the Ostrich, and Chuckles the Monkey. Wait.
That's that guy.
Wasn't Chuckles the gnome monkey from fucking Orville?
He probably,
I ate that duck.
Yeah, that's Chuckles, isn't it?
No, it is.
Or is it Tickles? Is he
no,
called
it's
Tickles?
No, it's not Tickles. It's Chuckles or Bubbles. No, Bubbles is
Bubbles.
The, no, Bubbles is the Michael Jackson fuck monkey.
No, but do you take my point, Paul?
Yeah.
That the crocodile isn't Why would you want kids? Is there an element of menace that you're trying to get the kids to behave as well? So that if they respect the crocodiles, could be a bit scary. Captain Croc, you know what I mean? If he's been on the sauce, Captain Croc fucking gets snappy.
Come on, Captain Croc, come on, you've got to go on stage. There's 28 kids out there.
Off. I don't want to go.
We need you to sing. Yeah.
I don't want to go. I'm fucking drunk, mate.
Come on, you just got to sing. You just got to mime to the Captain Croc song, all right?
Mummy, Captain Croc's been sick in my face.
Oh, you fucking little brat.
Right, we're going to have to get... It's happening again. It's happening again.
I'll put you under a rock, you little cunt.
And that's our improvised scene today.
Anyway.
It was quite good.
Oh, thank you.
It was all right.
No, thank you.
It did the job.
Thank you very much.
It got the job
done. No, thank you, Paul.
Here's the thing, though. Splatter or platter?
It is a splatter.
It's a splatter for me as well.
We should mention briefly, Disco Crocodile... which is on the B-side. And this is what I mean about the cheapness of this.
Yeah.
It's a totally different title. Is it literally exactly the same song with slightly different lyrics and a bass drum going boom, boom,
it's
boom.
It's a slightly different arrangement of
fucking
it.
Fucking terrible.
It is.
In every way, cheap and shit.
But.
And cynical.
Opened up a door in my brain to a memory, long lost memory, and it's back now. So thank you, Jake. For that.
So a splatter from both of us.
Yeah, a splatter from me.
Even though it's got the memories.
I have suddenly realised I'm going to end week with my third selection. What is your next selection?
My second selection.
Yeah, because I'm not happy with my final one now on reflection, but we'll get to that.
Well, we've made our bed now.
Dems the breaks.
There's not enough bloody breaks on these records.
Dems the breaks.
Bad Girls. We'll hear a bit of this right now.
Right now, in fact.
And this is a song which will be familiar to everyone, no doubt.
Yeah.
A staple of the world of music itself, Paul.
In a similar vein to Stars on 45 and Ponton's Kids classic hits kind of thing, you know?
This is Bad Girls with The Conga.
And it sounds a little something like this.
Conga, Paul.
Question. Is this the original origin of Conga? Hang on. There's so many Congas.
Na, 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 na. Na, 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 na.
Come on and do the Conga.
Let's all do the Conga. Let's all do the Conga. This is a version of that. But it's simply called the Conga.
This is the question, isn't it?
Now, let's
start. Where's that from?
Let's start from the beginning. The Conga was a big thing. And it came from a Cuban dance.
Yes.
And it was big. It sort of crossed over to the West, so to speak, in the 30s originally.
That's right. So, there was a lot of that in Hollywood in the 1930s and 40s. You'd see a lot of conga in musicals and in nightclubs, especially in LA.
And I think where we're getting confused is it's not a song. It's a dance. But it often includes that phrase.
No, it doesn't include that phrase. It's more the beat. It's like...
Where did...
And then that's the affectation.
Where did that come from? We still don't know.
No, that's the affectations other people put on it. So it was big in the 30s and 40s, whatever, and then it dies out and whatever. And then somehow in the 70s and early 80s, it becomes a staple of like party and novelty hits, like Black Lace.
Black Lace, but this is the funny thing. Black Lace isn't that tune, is it?
No, but it's
how
similar.
How does the Black Lace one go, please?
Because the Black Lace one goes, come on and do the conga and let the party stronger. No, it's not. It's this one. This is what I'm saying. It's like when you try and do the Star Wars theme and the E.T. theme
back to
back. I've got it
as well, so come on. How does the Black Lace one?
No, Black Lace is do, 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 come on and do the conga. Do, 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 a train around the floor. Because that's the other thing. The conga's a dance, but is it a dance where you're in single file doing a kind of duh-duh-duh-duh-duh-duh? Is that what
you
it
know
is?
You know what, Paul? It's not often we get to say this on this podcast, but we do not have the time. This could be its whole own podcast, because it's amazing to me how you can't just look up, what's it on Wikipedia? It doesn't have the conga on Wikipedia.
Well, that's what I'm looking for now. But weirdly, I just saw this question come up. It goes, why was the conga banned? The style was appropriated by politicians in the early years of the Republic in an attempt to appeal to the masses before elections.
This is in Cuba?
I'm guessing so.
Wow.
However, Havana citizens were forbidden to dance to the conga line since rival groups would work themselves into high excitement and start street fights.
Wow, yeah.
But it originated in Cuba, and the participants form a winding line, yes, taking three steps forward and three steps back and then doing, yeah, a kick.
Da, 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 da. That's the kick. So,
yeah.
And yeah, that, so it's that. It's the dance. So along that trajectory, someone wrote a song that has that na-na-na-na-na.
But that, when I was a kid in school, that would be the thing where he goes, come and do the conga and make my willy longer. Na-na-na-na. You just do that kind of thing, you know.
It's fascinating to me because it's a dance, and it's also a sort of weird meme, a bit like, you know, the it's like a figure, isn't it? It's like the Chinese music.
Yes.
How does that go?
Yeah,
yeah.
And then my brain goes da 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 for no reason.
Which is also a similar sort of thing.
Yeah, that was called like the vaudeville something or other.
So it almost has that status, doesn't it? That na 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 na.
Yeah.
Like I'm loving it. It's like a
It's much bigger and richer than that.
No, I know, but it's similar. It's like a little phrase that is almost like a melody meme these days. Do you know what I mean?
I see what you're saying with that respect.
Yeah.
But in terms of like the genre itself, it's much more richly kind of, like, for instance, we just listened to the Gloria Estevan and the Miami Sound,
which
Machine
is cool.
Yeah,
that's really good. Come on, everybody, let's do that conga, which is a totally different melody. Do you know what I mean? But that's excellent.
And what was it in the 80s that made that come back? Was it the back end of disco that allowed this conga to come through again?
Well, that's it. If we get back to the record under discussion, Paul,
yes,
Bad Girls Conga, this is very much using Moroder style keyboard line, that sequenced keyboard,
yeah,
that you get from Donna Summer's Give Me Love. That's on this. And actually, the actual music, the backing track, so to speak, on this, I don't mind that much. It's kind of decent sort of Euro disco synthy stuff.
But this wasn't a hit. So how did that motif slip into like schoolyard consciousness? There must
Black
have been another
Lace,
version
Black
of it.
Lace famously stole a lot of stuff from when they were touring Europe, right?
Yeah.
So it must have been in the clubs in Europe.
Like Germany or something,
yeah,
like that. Which would make
this
sense.
This is from France, this record that we're discussing.
Yeah, because the label
are
is
shitty singers. Shitty singers. The Bad Girls. They should be called the Bad Singing Girls.
But it's,
or
it's
the Girls That Bad Singing.
What year is this? Does it say?
It does not, but
because
it
I'm
must
thinking
be.
It must be like late 70s, early 80s.
It must be.
I'm just trying to figure out what that, come on and do the conga, and it's da, 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 where that came from.
It's weird, isn't it?
Because that seems to be like what they're sampling for
we
their
may
song.
Never know. We might have to do a follow-up.
If anyone knows who's listening about the conga, please do get in touch, thecheapshow@gmail.com or on social media or whatever, like B-Sky.
I mean, the full name of this song is The Conga, and it's got in brackets, I came, I saw, I congered.
Yeah.
I mean, and we have done it. We have tried, everyone.
But if you just type The Conga into search engines,
it's too wide.
It's too wide, because then you get like the genre, then you get Gloria Estevan.
Yeah.
But then, sadly, one of the top hits is You Get Black Lace.
You Get Black
and
Lace.
And the fact that Black Lace is representing the phrase The Conga is offensive.
They were damaging to culture, weren't they, as an entity? Because we covered that racist record they made last time, didn't we?
A Speak of the Lingo.
Why do they overhang this segment,
yeah,
like a fucking
because
ghost.
Black Lace are like the patron saints of like shit novelty 80s British music.
They are.
It's like they're synonymous within the genre. They almost
define. They define
the sound of it.
And that song defines it. It's party music, and it's something that involves everyone. So it's got that line dance or Oops Upside Your Head.
Yeah.
Which has its Wigfield's Saturday night. You know, there's that one cameo now that they all sit down or whatever.
What cameo one?
There's a cameo one. What's it called? She's everyone does a dance.
She's Candy.
Yeah.
Candy.
Is it Candy?
One?
Yeah.
That doesn't really seem to lend itself to that, though, does it?
But there's a dance somehow arrived.
Fair enough.
There's things that just arise in clubs. I would think the conga was something that Black Lace nicked from a sort of holiday camp in Germany or something. That would be my guess.
Maybe, but their whole thing was, like, for instance, Agadoo. which we know was copied from a German holiday camp song.
Superman?
Well, no. Superman and Agadoo both have songs that are similar in that they tell the people listening what to do on the dance floor.
Yes.
So the conga is an easy way to get mum and dad up and your nan on the dance floor.
That's right. You know? So although we don't know the origin, we can see why it caught on during that period.
Yeah.
Do you see what I mean? Because it's and everyone and gets
then
involved.
They killed it.
Like Russ Abbott's Atmosphere.
That's conga-like.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And
it even has that bit in it, which is conga, like where the song breaks down, go dum, dum, dum,
exactly.
Dum, dum,
dum, dum, exactly. Dum, dum, dum. So it's,
oh, what an atmosphere.
What interests me, though, is the way it's like there's songs
God,
and there's
I
wanna dances.
Cover that.
There's songs and there's dances.
Yeah.
And it all sort of merges and it's difficult to pull the strands apart. We should cover Atmosphere.
No,
on
we've
the
covered
upcoming
that.
Cheap Show LP.
Yeah, maybe we could. I don't know what the legal ramifications of doing that would be. Like, because I was talking to Brian Wecht from Ninja Sex Party about this, and he says in America, you can just go ahead and make a cover. You pay $1 or something for the right to do it, to put it on an album. And I was like, really? That can't be that simple. Because I think in the UK, it's much more
the copyright laws. Well, let's look into it.
I don't really want to do a cover of...
Okay, fine.
But I just think it would benefit from a really up-to-date version of a
Atmosphere.
Cover of it.
It's not the worst song.
It's up anyway, there, though, isn't it?
We're not discussing that. What we're discussing on the Spinach label is Bad Girls, Conga, I Came, I Saw, I Congered.
I sadly have to give this a splatter. Because
singing's terrible.
It seems tossed off.
I do like the instrumentation and the marauder line.
Yeah.
But apart from that, no, it falls apart.
Like, a part of a platter to me is like, regardless of like its intent, would I listen to it willingly again?
Absolutely not.
And the Bras on 45 and the Dave D. Dozy Beaky Mick and Titch thing are both songs I would happily go, oh, I'll put that on a playlist.
Yeah.
But not that. That annoys
no,
me.
No, it's a splatter for me as well. But just interesting, and I find these...
Yeah, no, I agree. I absolutely agree with
these
you.
These things interesting. Dances and bits of music that survive, you know, until the 80s.
Yeah. Listen, what do you call it? Did you say platter
it's
or splatter?
It's a splatter for me as well. It's splatter terrible. For me, it's dog. Unlistenable, Ben.
Right. You say that, but I'm about to give my third my third and final option. And can I have these thing to introduce it properly?
I'm doing this.
This is my fault.
We've gone so deep in... I'm just having a little look, Paul, and I'll hand it to you. we've gone so deep into the 80s this week.
It is.
This was our time.
Naff year.
In 85, how old were you in 85?
What, like 7,
I
was 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this, we've had her before, and she's back again. It's Sue Pollard, who was an actress, comedian, lots of sitcom performances in the 80s, early 90s. And this is a song called Come To Me. Agree that was fucking awful. This is like sub Elaine Page ballad
show school.
But the thing with Sue Pollard is you can tell she's obviously properly trained as an actress singer.
She went to stage school, like everyone of that generation. She must have in drama school, but done musical theatre, right?
Yeah,
had a musical theatre sort of.
She came from a stage school. She must have.
She
come
must
from a
have
a place that forms out horrible, stilted child actors who all perform in the same fucking register.
And in this era, they ended up in like Grange Hill.
Yeah, EastEnders.
And they ended up doing pop records. But nowadays, in the last sort of 10, 20 years, they all ended up in boy bands and girl bands, didn't they?
Yeah, that's how it progressed.
It progressed to that.
They couldn't get an acting job, so they started a boy band or girl band to get on the telly.
So we both think she's got a trained voice, and she's doing the Celine Dion at the end. She's giving it the beans at the end a bit.
Here's the thing, though, I think in all the songs we've heard from her so far on this podcast, which is not that many, but enough, right?
We did one early on in the podcast. Yeah. We covered one, didn't we?
It was a sitcom theme. yeah. coming together or something like that.
That's right. God, you see that. Oh, to this day, you see that.
The problem is I get the feeling that she's a belter. She really wants to hammer out big show tunes. But both of these songs...
She does get to belt a bit at the end of the second song. Yeah.
But they seem to restrain her voice. And so she puts this effective wobble on as if to kind of pull back on her blasting it out.
It's not the greatest voice she's got, but it's capable. It's not the worst. And you know what? Let's her down on both sides of this disc, Paul.
This is
it's the material. It's the songwriting is completely generic shit.
The
backing is done terribly.
The thing is...
It's a wash.
We got an A and B, right, to this. And the A side, what I would say, is a substandard mid-80s ballad.
Yeah.
Track A is called Come To Me, I Am Woman, which is a strange title. It infers to me that, like, when you say I am woman, you're speaking for women.
As a whole, right? You're talking for the whole gender.
So
there,
it's basically saying that Sue Pollard represents all women. And I don't think
Shaka Khan, I'm every woman.
Yeah, but I buy it from Shaka Khan. Is that more explicit? I buy it from Shaka Khan.
You buy it from Shaka Khan? Didn't know she was in that game.
No. If you put Sue Pollard and Shaka Khan... No, I know. Very vulgar and I don't appreciate
it. Okay, sorry.
If I put Sue Pollard and Shaka Khan up on a stage and someone said, go to the one that represents woman.
Yes.
I'm going to Shaka Khan.
But Shaka Khan is one of the great voices, I'd say, of the late 20th
Although
century.
If anyone does want to team up Sue Pollard with Shaka Khan... I'll be up there.
I was going to say, now, is it a bit sort of patriarchal? The sort of tone of I'm woman coming to
no,
me.
No, it just it's comes
like,
across
you're
as
you're
like
the man,
insincere.
You do the work, no, I am no. woman. No,
it's coming across as insincere. It's like, I am woman, I am gentle, I am everything
yeah,
you
which
need.
Yeah, it's a bit patriarchal. It's like, this is the role. I will fulfill this role
maybe,
in this romance.
But...
You know what I mean? It's a shit song, whatever. Can I also say, if we are going to get a little bit, you know, a little
what?
Bit...
What? What just, why are you doing wanky signs now?
I like Pollard in that way.
I can't continue with this podcast.
No, can't you? Come on, fake
I can't
out.
Share a podcast with a man who holds
I fancy
erotic...
Sue Pollard.
What is it about Sue Pollard
that
gets your
rocks
off? It's
the short hair, the blondness, and the glasses.
And the big mouth.
I like Sue Pollard. I like her like that. You know, when she's in her prime there. There's something...
This has really become quite awkward. I don't
she
know.
Wasn't sold as a sex symbol, was she? They didn't go for that with her at all.
No, they couldn't have. That might be, sadly, a drawback, which is why she went for this whole Elaine Page... I keep saying Elaine Page, but there are other examples I'm trying to get
Bonnie
for you.
Tyler is
Bonnie
much
Tyler,
better example.
Well, okay, so this is where we need to do a little interstitial because I want to put in side B.
Okay.
So this is side B called You Don't Really Want Me. It's still a crap song. I fucking love it.
It's much better.
I like the saxophone.
It's got cheesy sax. It's got that vibe of I think it sounds like the sitcom music for some working woman in Chicago in the 80s.
It's the music that introduces like Entertainment USA.
Could
like
be.
Live from...
It's got an American 80s vibe.
Live from Hollywood. Here is whatever doing this.
It could be that as well.
With all the latest movie news.
It's more up-tempo. It's a better song. I wonder.
And Pollard wrote this one.
And it's just better. And I wonder why. I wonder if she was forced to put the insipid slow ballad on the A side.
If you're going to make a single, Sue, I would have gone with B. You Don't Really Want Me.
It's more up tempo, more catchy, better song, better vocal performance.
She can kick
it
out a little bit better. She bellows it better.
Yeah.
The weird is the mixed messaging, though, is like side A, Come To Me, I Am Woman. Side B, You Don't Really Want Me.
It
Come
should
to
have
me.
Been the A side. I think they didn't know how to manage
because
her pop career.
I think it's because you sell a ballad, what you're doing is you're making it approachable for women to buy your record. She can't can't reach out to men and say, buy me because I'm a sex symbol. So she's reaching out to a broader audience, possibly older, who just want something a bit lovely to listen to.
But I think everyone's mistaken, because she could have got more radio play with the B-side, couldn't she?
Yeah, but I just don't think...
People have taken notice of it.
The track record, though, for this kind of artist is always low. For every Nick Berry who gets a number one with Every Loser Wins...
You've got three Sue Pollard singles.
There's Sue Pollard, there's Lenny Henry, there's Russ Abbott, who kind of just pop in and out, and it's all a bit embarrassing and a little bit sad at the end of the day.
Yeah. And what was Sue Pollard's breakthrough performance as an actor?
It would have been Heidi High.
It would have been Heidi High.
You know, she was a chalet maid, but she really wanted to be a yellow coat.
I fancied the pants off her in that
role. Yeah, well, yeah.
What? There's nothing problematic about that.
No, there's nothing problematic about you fancying Sue Pollard, apart from the visual image in my mind of you giving her the beans. That's what it comes down to.
Okay, now.
I'll give you a yellow coat, a sticky yellow coat of my muckage.
I need to ask you, Paul.
It's a splatter.
I would give it...
A partial platter for B.
I would give it a partial platter for B, because I did... B, we were rocking out to that, weren't we?
Yeah.
Quite unironically. It has some gumph.
Yeah.
It has some gumph, Paul.
I think she was undersold, because whatever Rainbow Records is, and it ain't the same Rainbow Records that did the story tapes, but I can't imagine Rainbow Records having much of an impact on the Radio 1 A-list playlist.
Yeah.
Anyway, final choice for me was that. Mixed overall feelings on this.
You've only had one of your three selections. Only one was a bona fide platter. And that was the Ivor Biggin and
but
the
that's
D-cup.
Fine. What is your final track, Mr. Silverman?
I feel it's not going to be... I think it will be a platter, but it's a strange one, Paul.
Let's have a little bit.
We're going to have to listen to both sides of this as well. So should we play the first side and then
have
a little
chat? Yeah, we'll come back to it. So what is this one?
Okay, this is What a Wally.
And yeah.
And the artist is Sharon.
It's an odd one.
It's a novelty song.
And we should say there was the word puffters or whatever in it, wasn't there? Doesn't she say puffters or something?
Queer. Because she's mocking her father, that's the thing.
Yes.
Who is old-fashioned and bigoted, perhaps.
Because there's not much to say about this. Because when we looked into the artist, Sharon, it turned out she was a bit of a session singer from like the late 70s, early 80s.
And was in some post-punk, new wave, electronica sort of groups from then.
Yeah.
It was a really interesting time if you're into electronic music. Think people like Human League.
Oh, okay. The coming off the Kraftwerk kind of stuff. Yeah, okay.
That kind of stuff. It was really, and Gary Newman, who we've mentioned before. It was quite experimental as far as pop music went, you know. And then it became codified. By about 84, you have Spandau Ballet and Duran Duran.
And it's much more produced and vision
commercial.
Forward.
Yeah.
The thing is, this song in itself is, it has the same vibe as Jilted John. You know, it's got that kind of character storytelling thing going on.
It doesn't know whether to be full on comedy, novelty, or be a pop record. So it's falling between the trees, isn't it? The stools.
It's like the waitresses, you know, I know
what
boys
like. Yeah,
there's
a punk thing to her delivery, a sort of spoken word punky thing to her delivery.
And it's fine. Overall, it's a fine track. I can easily imagine why it wouldn't have gotten much airplay outside of maybe John Peel playing it once.
But it's like trying to be a hit, isn't it? It's weird.
Side note, by the way, Johnny Rotten, off of the Sex Pistols, in an interview with the BBC back in the early 80s, once recommended the Winker song by Ivor Biggin as one of his favourite hits of that year.
Yeah, but he's also a professional contrarian, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a professional contrarian. And
but that is interesting.
The B-side we listened to, and the B-side...
We should say as well, like a lot of the
songs we've got tonight,
listen to today, referencing pop cultural things from that era, the early to mid-80s. And this goes for it as well, doesn't it? Because he's watching stuff on the telly on What a Wally. And Wally was a big word then, wasn't it? Do you remember Wally was like, you call people Wallies then?
Well, yeah, and
when
it was...
You'd call someone
A bozo.
Now, what would you call him today? An idiot?
Cunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're such a Wally. It is a very 80s word.
It is. This is what I'm trying to say. Brilliant as well. Brilliant.
What was the name of that character that had its nose over the wall and went like, what, no biscuits or
he
whatever
was
it was?
He was called Wally, wasn't
was
it?
Was it Wally though? Was
no,
it?
No.
We've done this on the podcast. We should know.
He's called Seamus or something.
We've also done 418 episodes, so...
He's called Seamus or...
Forgive us
Digbert.
For not having it's perfect Digbert? Recall.
No, Seamus, Digbert.
Oh, so I just look it up?
I'm going to look... I'll do my voice search.
No, we're not doing your voice search.
I'll do my voice search. What was the character with his nose over the wall called?
Mr. Chad.
Kilroy.
It says Mr. Chad here.
Well, you got it wrong, mate. I'm sorry.
No, because Mr. Chad was known since the Second World War.
It's definitely Kilroy, though, isn't it? Do you remember now?
It's Kilroy as well, but that's the American one.
Ah, I see.
So there's the British one. It's Chad. And this is a fucking British podcast. And we'll be calling it Mr. Chad.
Okay, let's call it Mr. Chad.
Yeah, so Mr. Chad.
Chad is another thing that people chads now, don't they?
Yeah, no, Chode.
Chad.
Chode. Chad Chode.
Chode is a very large shaft with a very small penis on the end, and also a poo.
Is it?
Yeah.
So what do you mean? Like with a
it's
small...
It's a particular type of penis with, penis, a, glans, with a small glands.
Yeah, with small glands on
small
top.
Small glands, big shaft.
Oh.
Like one of those mushrooms where the stalk
like an aerosol
bigger.
Can. It was like big chunky shaft and like a little niblet on the top.
It more like...
How does that even work? That's weird, isn't it? What a hog... Like,
some people are into
it. Is
them.
That what people call a hog?
No.
Is a hog is a chode?
You could have a hog that was a chode.
Yeah, but you can't have a chode that was a hog.
Yeah, a hog is a general term for penis.
But what about...
For the whole lot. It's the hog, you know.
Not just the glands penis.
No, the glands is the helmet.
Is it?
Yeah.
So it's a big shaft, tiny helmet.
Big shaft, tiny helmet. Okay. I don't know how many times you want me to say this.
Big shaft, tiny helmet. What do you do? You do. Anyway,
the B-side
is what?
Very much a reference to the era. Love on Atari.
Like Darth Vader, you're a little Flash Gordon when you're out with the boy. But you're a real non-starter when you go out with me. There are some things in life that you can't get rid of simply. Oh, you'd be happier with the Atari version of love.
An interesting track that was.
I like that one. I genuinely, as a piece of music, I like that. So obviously,
you can see the budget limitations with it.
I mean, the disc that I picked up is very fucked, so it probably sound better from online.
Well, yeah, I might try and pull it from online.
But it's got like music things, like it's got a stereo sort of pan in it, and it's got lovely keyboards.
It does have.
I like the chorus.
I think it does have genuine Atari sound effects from it, though.
Yeah,
like, and I like Pong or whatever.
And I like the chorus. Her multi-tracked sort of electronic voice
very
is nice. Ethereal.
Ethereal, yeah. It's almost got that kind of 10cc, not in love kind of vibe.
It's not bad
it.
At all, really. And on a little compilation of sort of obscure electro-pop of the era, that would fit right in.
Oh, God, yeah. This is, you know, the footprint of this song in history is almost nil.
It's zero.
All I could find out is that the woman who sings it was also in two other weird new wavy bands.
And she's called Sharon Abbott.
Yes. Yeah. And I couldn't even find out what happened to her afterwards.
I know.
It's like she was in a band that was named after some kind of weird electronica weird
It was called
thing.
Poème Électronique.
Yes. And then there was the Nouvelle Twins or something.
Yeah, so she was involved in some of the stuff, the scene then. One of the reasons we discovered why this might not have...
Charted or made any impact.
Or made any impact is it's released on a German label areola.
Yeah.
Isn't that the bit around the tit?
So that would make sense when you think about what the record looks like. And the little spindle is a titty.
It's the areola.
It's a little titty nipple, isn't it? You ever think about that?
That's not why they
call it. Is that why, though, when you're like at a DJ and you see one big turntable here with a little nibble in it and one big turntable here and you're mixing, you think, oh, I've got big tits in my hands.
No, because it's very different in terms of the sensation.
Like, flicking the power button underneath.
I don't flick
the
power
button.
And you're
like rubbing the records 12 inches here. Around mixing it all, oh yeah, I'm rubbing the areolae of my 12-inch. Yes. Here we go.
Yes, you're
rubbing
right. Whatever.
Flicking it.
I'm flicking the thing.
And then someone comes up to you and goes, "Have you got Rumours by the Fleetwoods of Mac?"
The Fleetwoods of Mac. Now, I like both sides.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give it a platter. I actually really like, that's my favourite piece of music as an actual, unironically, today was.
Yeah. It's all right.
Love on Atari by Sharon.
It didn't hit me as hard as it hit you, but yeah, I will agree. I mean, it's a nice, apart from Sue Pollard, frankly, there's been an intro. Well, no, that's not true. Apart from Sue Pollard and Captain Croc, there's been an interesting selection of stuff here, and they've all fallen into the kind of good time party adjacent.
They're all from
British experience.
Yes, but the Dozy D.
Dave D, Dozy, Beaky, Mick and Titch.
Yeah, that one is from like 15 years earlier.
Yeah,
than the
that's
rest
the outlier, really. But everything else, there's a weird theme going through.
There's a lot of things thematically linking these, Paul.
Like a thatch, like a thatched roof.
Like a weft.
There's a weft and a thatch.
Yes.
And a whim. A whim of my weft and my thatch.
Oh,
and my
I think the whim's
thatch.
Gone. A what? Whim away. That's that tune as well, isn't
it?
Yeah, it's all coming round. Did you hear my joke though, Paul?
Yeah,
I think the whim's gone. Yeah, whim away. Yeah. Oh, so
we need to say
platter. I need you to say
platter
for that.
I'm going to give that a platter, a minor platter.
And what was your favourite? That sounded like a milk van.
I don't know what the fuck's going on with the street outside.
It was the jingle jangle of the milkman.
Beware the jingle jangle of the milkman.
Oh, he comes with his creamy top.
And he has his creamy top.
Oh, you just said what I said. Is that
just,
how
and
you're
he just
do
said
this?
What I said. Yes.
You're just going to do
this.
Listen, okay, we've got to wrap this. Well,
let's,
no, well
let's
done.
Wrap this
brilliant
week's
improvisation, Paul. I feel sick.
Hey, mate, you see that whim? He just went away.
Oh, fuck off.
Whim away, whim away, whim away, whim away, whim away, whim away, whim away,
whoa. No, I need to ask you.
Yeah.
What was your favourite piece of music of this whole week, please?
I'm torn between the A side of Ivor Biggin and the Dave D. Dozy, Beaky, Mick and Titch thing.
Well,
just,
I'm going to ask
listenability.
I'm going to ask you to come down and say which was your favourite platter today, please.
I think I'm going to come down on the Biggin.
Okay, fine. It was perhaps the most surprising for me in terms of like thinking, wow, a lot of work has gone into this.
In this stupid song.
And it's a lot of layered references and, you know.
Yeah,
they don't make novelty comedy records like they...
Not like they used to back in the old days. Oh, anyway.
By the way, Paul.
Oh, do you want me to check on?
No, but I've got Rob.
Well, let's. Yeah, I'll tell you what. I've got to tidy all this up. Let's bring him in now. We can wrap this
up. Rob
right,
in,
here we go.
He wants. Yeah.
What? Job. What?
I think he wants just to wank into the.
Well, he can do
the
it
cupboard.
Into the box if he wants. Because
no,
he's not in
nailed
there anymore.
Up. It's nailed up.
He can just do it through one of the slats.
Well, anyway, we'll see what he
we'll
says.
We'll see what he says.
Because he might have been on some travel. He might have travelled widely or something, you know.
Do you want to take the Sue Pollard record and go to the corner next to the box?
I don't do that.
Just saying.
It's the dog. It was mainly the dog.
You always blame the dog, but I know you're muck when I see it.
I know. We've both admitted we've both have come in track box cupboard once or twice.
It's
six or seven.
Charge booth.
Eight times. Eight
More
times total. Once a week for the last 2 years.
I like to call it a baker's dozen.
I'm going to get Robin.
Let's right? get him in.
Okay, Rob.
You're right, Rob. How have you been?
Oh, no, I'm dead.
Come sit down, mate.
Sit down.
Someone sit down. Come on.
Hello, wild travel.
Eli's just popped out to make me a cup of tea.
Oh, it's very nice. I don't drink tea.
Yeah. All right. Well, do you want a coffee?
I don't drink that.
What do you drink?
Water.
All right.
I have a very...
Eli, he wants water instead, please.
Oh, I want some water.
That was the captain of the ship calling.
I've been travelling, you know. Very.
Where have you been?
Very far and wide.
Where from?
I went from next door, and then I came into here. I've come next door to here.
That's quite
very
far for you.
Very far for me.
That's like what, at least a couple of meters, something like that.
Very, very, very far.
Anyway, what do you want since you come here? Because we're just wrapping up the podcast.
It's the trackbot. I've got a correspondence. With Trackbot, and I've been,
what have you got with Trackbot?
We've been having a correspondence. He's very interested in travel, actually, as well as music.
Okay. Yeah, well, you can go to his booth if you want. Oh, He's not in there,
Why is he not there?
He's not. He's charging up separately.
I need him to be in there. When I...
You don't need him to be in there, do you? Does it help?
If I can see through the little window in the door that
it's all boarded up.
It's boarded up. What am I going to do?
Well, we've given him a new charge pack.
Oh, yeah?
So it means no one needs to come in his booth anymore.
Where is he?
Hang on. Well, hang on. Let me just go get him. He's out in the hallway charging. Hang on. Here we go.
Stay there for a minute.
Oh, okay, I'll just...
If you want to use the booth, go use his booth.
No, it doesn't look like it's in working order anymore. Here he comes. Oh, what's that in his mouth? What's that in his mouth? What's that in his mouth?
That's the charge pipe that goes from the wall into his mouth.
It's quite fleshy looking.
No, don't pull it out the wall.
Oh, I'm going to...
Do not pull that out the wall.
Oh, I can't control myself. Oh, God, it's got great suction. Oh, God.
It's not.
Crackpot. He snotted.
Hey, I've got some water. Rob, get. Put your trousers on.
I told him he tried to fuck Trackbot's charging cable pipe. I'm going to unscrew it.
Get out of here, Ron.
I'm going to unscrew Trackbot's pipe.
Put him on charge.
Trackbot couldn't breathe. I felt his muck come down my throat.
Oh, Trackbot, sorry about that.
It was quite nice. Tastes of baked beans.
Yeah,
I don't know why Troubling Rob has baked bean flavoured cum. That's all he eats.
He claims that he's like a connoisseur of the world cuisine, and he eats beans. All he eats is beans.
Yeah, he doesn't leave his house and he just eats beans.
He lives next door. He never leaves his house. All he eats is beans.
I don't want that man here anymore.
Don't worry, Trackbot. He's not coming round here anymore.
Yeah, so if you want to charge up again, Trackbot, now he's gone if you want.
Do you want me to screw it in, Paul?
Yeah, screw it back in. Trackbot!
All right, and turn it on. God, I'm glad I don't have to try and sleep in here, eh, Paul?
I'll turn the volume down and it's charging. So, mate, we can wrap up now if you want to go.
What? We should leave together.
No, you can go next. I'll tidy up in here if you want to go. I'm just and I'll make sure Trackbot's all right.
Okay. Bye then.
Yeah, just you can say goodbye. Yeah, bye bye everyone. That was Cheap Show. Bye. You can go now, mate.
Okay.
All right.
You'll be all right.
Yeah. I'm just gonna tidy up in here. I'm just gonna make sure everything's all right with Trackbot and stuff. All right. See ya. Right, where's that pipe? Right, I'm gonna stick my chod in. Here we go. I'm going to turn the sound back on. Oh, yeah. That's it, Trackbot. Download my muck. Oh, it's a good flesh pipe.
Oh, no. You're as bad as everyone else. You're as bad as that dog.
Mate, hang on. Have a go. Go on, have a go.
It's not hygienic.
It's fine. Hang on. I'll clean it off. Have a go of it.
Why am I so turned on?
Trackbot's loving it. Look at Trackbot's eyes.
It kind of shakes the base. Eli.
Splop. That's how we're ending this week's edition of Cheap Show.
You wanted Trackbot, you got him,
and Trackbot got it. Oh, what a dark way to end the episode.
Do some housework.
Oh, cheapshow.com. Something like that, innit?
The patrons.
No. Oh, hang on. Everything's on our website, thecheapshow.co.uk. Go there and you'll find everything you want for Cheap Show. We're all around the world and you'll find us at that website. And we have fantastic patrons who support us on the Patreon platform.
Love it.
If you want to join them and get access to Night Busting podcasts,
Night
behind
Busting.
The scenes, early access to our YouTube series, intermittent
Paul,
magazines
one thing?
From event.
Can I ask
extra
one thing?
Videos, extra podcasts.
Can I ask one thing?
Behind the scenes stuff. It's all at patreon.com/cheapshow.
What's Night Buzzing?
Well, it's a podcast. We showed an episode last week, didn't we?
Yeah.
As a little teaser taster.
Just saying.
Just saying. So, yeah, we go on night buses.
We go on night
the whole
buses.
Fucking thing.
And we were discussing today perhaps expanding the franchise to other cities in the UK.
It's a thought. Yeah. It is a thought. There are night buses elsewhere
there
in the country.
There are night buses services
but
elsewhere.
There are also big boys.
There's big boys.
Big boys.
Big boys.
Big boys out there as well. So different type of big boys. Northern big boys.
And they're harder, aren't they? Harder. Than the southern shite big boys.
Oh, yeah, not us southern softies. No, there's big boys. Big boys.
Stop.
Big boys.
You've just spent your whole load several times into a robot's gub.
Yeah, but now you're talking about bad boys on a night bus up north. Ooh.
I bet that is some people's specific fantasy.
It's in that book of unusual sexual practices I read last week.
Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank
I've been Eli
listening.
Silverman.
And I've been Paul Gannon, and we'll see you next week on another podcast where we find treasure amongst the trash.
Oh, we will.
Good night, goodbye, good morrow, good eve, good morn.
Tonight, today.
Tonight, today.
Let's do the conga.
Boop, 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 boop.
Atari.